Good morning. It's certainly a pleasure to be with you this morning. I know some of you, or maybe even most of you, probably don't know who I am. It's hard for me to believe that it's been almost 19 years since my wife Cynthia and I came to Auburn as students. It's been almost 15 years since we left there. It is one of the great bright spots of our time in Auburn is fondly remembering the brethren here and how much of an encouragement they were to us as a young new married couple worshiping here and working together with the church. I hope that you take advantage of the good opportunities and the good brethren here if you're those young college students now and young married couples now that are in the area. I was asked by the elders to present a review of the work that we're doing in Huntington, West Virginia. You have been gracious enough to support us in that work in Huntington for several years. And we are very much appreciative of your work in that area, that you're willing to help us to be in a place that has a small work of the Lord's people that is not able to support an evangelist full-time. We are appreciative that you're willing to help in that endeavor so that we can be there. I was telling Ryan this morning that giving reports is not one of my favorite things to do. I would much rather just preach a sermon. But there are good things that come from giving reports in works like this. And we do see in the New Testament that that's what happened. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 27 and verse 28, as Paul was finishing up one of his journeys, he came back to the church at Antioch, and it says, as recorded by Luke, "Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. One of the things that I think affects me when I think about giving a report is that I feel like I'm talking about us. I feel like we're talking about what we're doing. But I think the way that Luke records it and what Paul was doing is to show what the Lord was accomplishing in those areas. And I hope that that's what you see this morning is the good that has been accomplished in the region of Huntington, West Virginia, because of what you've done in helping to support us, is what God is working through us. The same thing is said in chapter 15, as Paul came to Jerusalem, that they were able to give a report there about what was taking place among the Gentiles. As I was thinking about giving this report and talking with you about some of the things that we have been doing, I was thinking about what Paul wrote to the brethren at Philippi. And I believe that I can say that much of what he said to the brethren of Philippi, I can say of you, brethren, as well. I'm so very thankful for the financial support that you give. And I want you to read with me what he said as he wrote to Philippi in chapter 1 and verse 3 beginning. He said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ." Of course, I'm not Paul, and I'm not in chains, and it's not the same situation that Paul was in. But I can certainly say that I am so thankful for your participation in my work. In chapter 4 of the same book, Paul wrote, I was going to read some more of that, but let's go on to chapter 4. In verse 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again to my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent to you, from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I think about those things that Paul has to write there, and I think of what you have done for me. And there have been multiple times that you have seen that I have had some need that has arisen, or that it has we have lost support from someplace else, and you have so graciously been willing to offer that to us. And I am appreciative of that. I love some of the things that he says in this passage, and I think of you and think of those statements. I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. When you help us, it makes it possible for us to spend time in spreading the gospel in our area. We don't have to take time to do secular work that would impede that, and it makes it so much easier for us to be able to accomplish the work that we're there in Huntington to do. Let me tell you a little bit about the work in Huntington. That's West Virginia. We are a state. We're not Western Virginia. We've been a state for a long time now, even though football commentators don't seem to remember that when they're calling games in West Virginia. It's a pretty good-sized state, and what I would say is there are several churches in the state, but a lot of them are very small, and they're very spread out from one another. Push the button too quick. We're there on the very southwest corner of the state of West Virginia. We border, in fact, our home is in a town called Canova, which is on the very corner of the state to the west of Huntington even, and we border the Ohio River and the Big Sandy River, which is the borders between us and Kentucky and us in Ohio. And so we're very close to the edge there in West Virginia. Huntington, West Virginia is the second largest metropolitan area in West Virginia. This is kind of a blow-up of our area. You're looking at about 20 miles worth of interstate that runs through our area. And all the little towns run together. We live in Canova. The next town is Cerrito. Then there's Westmoreland, then Huntington, and then Barbersville. And all of those are a part of what we look at as of where we're working. Huntington is home to Marshall University, and so in a lot of ways it's like Auburn. It's the small town kind of feel to it, but there's a university, a lot of new students coming in quite frequently into the area. We started the work in Huntington in August of 2004. I had a couple of young ladies who were Christians who were attending Marshall University, who were actually driving to Charleston, West Virginia, where I was preaching at the time, which is almost 60 miles. And they said, do you think that there is potential for a work in Huntington? I'll tell you a little bit about the demographic in Huntington in just a moment, but when they asked if that was a possibility, I thought that there was a good possibility for a need there of a planted conservative work. And so they began the work with another young man who had agreed to help them in August of 2004. To make a long story short, he didn't last very long, and he wasn't really willing to do the work that was needed to be done there. And by the end of 2004, he had quit going to help them with that work. And so we made the decision at the end of 2004 that we were going to move to Huntington and do the work there full time. In April of 2005, I gave the church in Charleston 3 months to let them know that we were going to be leaving there. We began the work in April of 2005 full-time, though we had been driving back and forth quite a bit to help the work there during that whole period of time. It took us a while to sell our house in Charleston. We eventually moved to Huntington in October of 2005. And so we've been there about 9 years now. And as with any work, and I'm sure that it happens here just like it happens everywhere else, there are ups and downs in the work. There have been a lot of good things that have happened in the last 9 years in Huntington, West Virginia. And I think that, you know, as I look back and I think about some of the things that have been good, we've had some baptisms that have taken place there. And we've had really the area that we've had the most growth in the church is actually through restorations. There were several people who had moved to Huntington, West Virginia from other places, and they could not find a sound work, and instead they just ended up not going anywhere again. And so when we started the work there and they saw that we were advertising in the newspaper, we had several who returned to service and they began to worship with us. And by the way, many of those are some of the strongest Christians that we have after 9 years of growth there in Huntington. We've had a lot of good brethren who have moved into Huntington and been a boost to the work. There's actually a family here this morning that was one of the groups that came and moved to Huntington, and they were just such a great encouragement to us in the work there. And that's been one of the blessings that we've had is that several families have had the opportunity to be there with us. Of course, there's been some bad that has occurred over the 9 years, and there are things that have been discouraging to us. We've lost members who have become unfaithful. There was a family that actually worked with me in Charleston that moved when we moved to help with the work, and almost that whole family has since fallen away. And so you can imagine that can be a very discouraging thing. And a lot of the people who were able to move into Huntington ended up having to move back out of Huntington. And so we've lost a lot of those that had come to be a part of us that are not there any longer. There are a lot of things that are challenges in Huntington, West Virginia, and I don't view these as anything new or different, but just to let you know some of the things that are going on there. The first thing is there are a lot of denominations, and I know you have a lot of denominations here. There are a lot of denominations in Huntington. In fact, I've been told that there are more churches per capita in Huntington, West Virginia than anywhere else in the country. And so there are a lot of people who look at themselves as being religious. And I actually think of Acts chapter 17 as Paul is standing there in the Areopagus and him saying to those that were gathered there, you know, men and brethren, I perceive that you're very religious in all of this. And I think that a lot when I look at Huntington. There are people who are very religious, and because they feel that they are already religious, they see no real reason to listen to us. And so that makes it very difficult sometimes to break through and make contacts and get people to think about what we're trying to say and teach them. Another problem is that there are in Huntington probably 20 churches that call themselves Church of Christ. There are every flavor of Church of Christ that you can imagine. We have groups that are institutional. We have groups that are social, institutional and social, instrumental. We have one-cup groups. We have one-cup no class. There is division over just about every topic that you can imagine and organized churches around each one of those. Because the name is so prevalent, people think they know what the Church of Christ teaches. And so they're not willing to listen because they already know and they've had some interaction with somebody who has said that they're from the Church of Christ. And so that causes some difficulties in our efforts as we try to spread the gospel there. I thought I'd tell you just a little bit about some of the efforts that we put in, some of the things that we try to do in the work there in Huntington. I don't look at door knocking as being very effective, but we do it. You see on the map there that 20-mile stretch between all of those little towns that line up through that about 20 miles. We have knocked, or at least attempted to knock, every residential door in that whole area. And so we've been to all the houses in all the residential areas for all of that area at least once. Many of those we've been to twice and talked to the people who are there. We try to set up Bible studies. We try to get into people's homes to talk to them about the Scriptures. There are a lot of times that we have organized efforts that we try to invite people to and meetings and lectureships and those types of things. We do keep a pretty hectic schedule, or try to, that has to do with the meetings and lectureships. Over the years, we've tried to do at least 3 to 5 different meetings or lectureships, and during those times, we hand out thousands of invitations during those efforts as we're out on the streets and trying to talk to people. One of the things that we had a little bit of a success with earlier on, especially being in the college town, is so we had lectureships that were designed to try to really pique people's interests. We would have topics that were of such a nature that hopefully people would look at that and say, that looks interesting, and so they would come. And we had quite a few visitors for about the first 5 years. After that, we weren't new anymore. After we weren't new anymore, we didn't have quite the turnout on those types of things. Another thing we've done is there are a lot of street fairs and festivals around the area. And so we have set up a booth, and we put a computer quiz in there, and we hand out materials. We hand out Bibles and tracts and CDs and magnets and pens and things like that with our contact information on it, and try to just get some good information out into the community. We spent a lot of time trying to develop home studies, and we've really worked hard with the members in Huntington to get them to the point of really wanting to teach home Bible studies. It's a whole lot more effective for people to invite their own friends over to their house and study the Bible with them than to say, I want you to come over and study with the preacher who is going to be here. And so we've done a lot of work over the years to really get people attuned to that principle and to work in the community and with their friends and neighbors. And that's been one of the most effective things that we see in Huntington is the work of the members. All of the members, or almost all of the members anyway, are very diligent in evangelism. Everybody is going out and talking with their friends and their family and their co-workers, and they're having studies, and they're having people into their home to talk about the scriptures. And they're all involved in the organized efforts as well, in which they're going to go out and knock on doors and invite people to come and to be a part of the Bible studies that we have. I'll just tell you, I don't think I've ever been in a group that is as hardworking as the group in Huntington. They're very diligent about everybody being active in working with working together to enact these different opportunities for Bible study. And so, as I think about the work in Huntington, I'll say it's just been a wonderful experience for me and my family. The church has grown. We started with just the two young ladies that were college students, and now there's about 25 that are meeting there regularly. If we kept everybody that would have been there, if they didn't have to move out, we would have 50 or 60 people there at this time. And so the growth has been good. It's northeast, so it's slower than what it might be in the south, but I think that growth has been good. And what I see as being really the really strong point in Huntington is the strength of the congregation. They have dealt with things that have just been very difficult in trying circumstances, and the church has grown spiritually to be able to deal with those in an appropriate and scriptural way. I say all that to say, after 9 years of being there, Cynthia and I have decided the church is in a place that we think we can leave there. And so we've made the decision that we're actually going to be moving from Huntington, Lord willing, next year. And where we're moving to is a long, long way away. And we've decided that we're going to go to Bozeman, Montana, and try to start a work there. When we began the process of thinking about leaving Huntington, we decided we wanted to go somewhere that did not have a sound work, somewhere that needed to have a church. And so as we began to evaluate that process and we began to look for where we might go and where we might land, we settled on Bozeman, Montana. And a lot of people have asked the question, why Bozeman? Well, first of all, let me show you a picture of Montana. Montana is large. Montana is a huge state. It's the fourth largest state in the Union. Bozeman is there in the southwest corner of the state. It's close to Yellowstone National Park, about an hour and a half north of Yellowstone National Park. But as we looked at the state of Montana, what we found was that we could not find a sound congregation in the whole state. And so, because we couldn't, now, you may know of one, and if you do, I'm happy for you to tell me about it, because we've been looking for about 4 years and have not found one that we would say was a sound congregation. It's much like Huntington in a lot of ways. You know, there's an area of about 20 miles that is the footprint of where we plan to do the work in Bozeman, and there are several little towns that kind of run together there. It is like Huntington in a lot of ways because it is a college town. Montana State University is there, and that's actually something that is appealing to us. We enjoyed the time here in Auburn. One of the things that we enjoyed was it being a college town and the work that was able to be done in a college town. Now, it's different than Huntington in that there are not a lot of churches that call themselves Church of Christ in the towns of Montana. In fact, each town has only one that we could find. And so there is just one church that calls themselves the Church of Christ. Now, they appear to be very similar to one another. This is just one of those things that we noticed as we traveled around the state. They all have a play yard in the back and the same exact gym set up in their play yard in there. And so it's just a strange thing to see how similar each one of those are, especially after our experience in Huntington, where there is so much diversity among those that call themselves Church of Christ. Another reason that we chose Bozeman is that Bozeman is growing very quickly. It doubled in size between the 2000 and the 2010 census. And so it's a place that a lot of people are going. It's a place that is just been growing really quickly over the last several years, and we think that provides an opportunity for us there. One of the reasons that we think it will be a good fit for us to start in Bozeman when we move to Montana is that there are a lot of people who move from outside of the state to Bozeman, and so we won't be viewed so much as outsiders if we go there as opposed to some of the other towns. Our plan is to hopefully spread out from Bozeman and go to some of the other towns that are around the state and try to establish sound works there as the years pass. We've gone out there a couple of times to look at the area, to evaluate what the potential is out there. And I said we weren't able to find any sound churches in the state. The closest we could find when we drove out there was in Idaho, which is over 200 miles away from Bozeman. And so we were driving all the way down into Idaho to be able to meet with saints while we were there in the area. I do have some contacts already out there, which is another reason we chose the town of Bozeman. I have a friend and his family that live there who are not Christians, and I hope that will open up some opportunities for us when we go there to begin working in the community. We've tried to start planning the work, and it's going to be a year before we move. Our plan is to move in April or early May of next year, and we put it so far out because we knew it was going to take quite a bit of effort to get things in line and make the plans and preparation to go there. I have a younger brother who's 10 years younger than me, who has been preaching for about three years now, who is also making the arrangements to go. And so our plan is to go and work together and try to establish a church there in Bozeman. Some of the things that we've used in Huntington I don't think are going to be very effective in Bozeman. And part of the reason is going to be financial concerns. It's a lot easier to get somebody to come, you know, three, four, five times a year to work with us in Huntington when it's just, you know, 300-400 miles for them to come, as opposed to getting folks that were willing to come 1,800 miles to a small and struggling church that won't be able to help to bring them there. And so one of the things that we have really dedicated ourselves to is that we're going to focus primarily on home studies and try to get into people's houses and talk to them. Instead of going out and inviting them to come to church, we're going to focus on going to them and trying to establish those times of home studies that will be effective without having as many gospel meetings and those types of things that might be a little more difficult for us to do. It is a little difficult to plan specific things from this far away and this much time out. And so we're looking forward to getting there and being in the community and figuring out what is available to us, what types of things they might have there that would provide opportunity for us to talk to people in the community. We are looking forward to the work there. It's something that we're excited about. It's something that over the next few months we're putting a lot of effort and time into that plan, and we're making it a very busy time, especially over the next 6 weeks as we travel around and talk with other churches about the work there and the possibility of helping us in the work there. It's a time for us that is filled with a lot of fear and sadness, too, because when you go into anything where there's you don't know what's going to happen, it can be a daunting task. And it's filled with sadness because we have such a good relationship with the church in Huntington. We're going to miss the brethren there, and it would be easy for us to stay there. It would be easy for us to not leave. But I think that the time has come that we can leave and go and do another work like we had done there. And so that's just a quick summary. And I'll say, if you have questions about what we're doing or what we're going to do, please feel free to come and talk to me and talk about what we're planning to do. As we close, I want to say we are looking for help. We're looking for folks who might be willing to go and give a little bit of time there. And even if you're in a position that you might be able to move there and help get the church off the ground and get started, we're looking for like-minded people who would be willing to go and try to help with that kind of work. I think about our service to the Lord and our encouragement to do the best service to the Lord that we can. And I would say there is a great need right here. And so if this is the place that you need to be and you're doing the work of the Lord and you're busy about that, serve the Lord here. And I know a lot of people are not here. They're here for college or they're here for a short period of time and then they're going to be leaving and they're going to be going back home. And that's great. If you can serve the Lord there and be diligent about doing that and do the best work that you can in the Lord's kingdom in that place, go back home and do that. But I'd like to encourage you to at least consider, especially if your plan is not to stay here, but to go someplace else. Consider going somewhere that you can help the Lord's church. Don't look for just the best place that you can get the best job or the easiest place to live or those types of things. Think about what you might be able to do to help the Lord's church. And I think that there are a lot of people who are in a position where they can go in other places and they can look at the work that is going on there and can be a great asset to the work in those different places. And I know you support several men here, and I appreciate that. And I would encourage you to think about them and maybe how you might be able to help them. We sing a song sometimes that comes from Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. In which Isaiah says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who shall go for us?" And then he says, "Here am I, send me." And we sing that, "Here am I, send me." And I would encourage us to really think about the words of that song and realize that, we're making a commitment to God that we're willing to go wherever the need might be. And encourage you to follow through on that. If you have an opportunity, if you're in a position where you might be able to go and help some small struggling work at some point, I would encourage you to do it because I can tell you firsthand how much that means to us whenever there are those who are able to do that, even if it's for a short period of time. So wherever we end up, let us serve the Lord. Serve Him wholly, give our whole heart to Him, and realize that He is the one that is worthy of all praise, and let's do it for His glory. Thank you for letting me share my work with you here this morning. And I appreciate, once again, your being willing to be a part of our endeavors there. We haven't talked at all this morning because of the nature of what we're doing here. We haven't talked at all about what it takes to be obedient to the gospel message. We haven't talked about what your obligation to God is. I trust and I know that that has been discussed here quite frequently. And so if you're here and you have not been obedient to the gospel call and you're ready to do that even this morning, let us help you to do that. If there's something else that is amiss in your life, you've been obedient to God and you've wandered away from being what He would want you to be, let us help you to get back on the right track. If you'd like for us to pray for you this morning, let us know what we can do to help you as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.